This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fuel. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Tosche Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
Outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chot Flats, you're listening to Tosche Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and wife, Nancy.
Hello!
On today's episode, we're talking about canon continuity and world building. Yeehaw! We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. Yeah, I did that. Got a problem with it?
You did what? Yeehaw?
Yeehaw.
Are you Lando now?
I was thinking more Han.
Han,
yes.
No, Lando was more of a Wahoo or something.
A little more like that.
Okay.
Then there was the Enum who was more,
Let's move on.
Let's move on. A word from our sponsors. Tosche Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Tosche-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Want your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Marvel, Transformers, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry? Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast.
Marvel and Transformers?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
New IPs.
And by the way, if you didn't know, that really neat Marvel dress is now available for purchase.
Both of them are.
Both of them. Oh.
The black Avengers dress that was only, there was a sneak peek of it, but it wasn't available on HerUniverse.com yet. It is up on ThinkGeek right now. And the Marvel Heroes print dress, which kind of looks just like a pattern from far away, but up close you can see it's all the different heroes from Marvel, is at Hot Topic. And also the several other items from the new lines are at Hot Topic, including the cap cardigan.
Excellent. And I suppose that means it's time for what's new on the blog, and there's not a whole lot this week.
Not a whole lot. I think all the comics come out at once.
Yeah, Bria's been lamenting that of late.
Yeah, so Bria last week reviewed Darth Vader and the Cry of Shadows, which I think was a collection of sorts.
Which yeah. She was kind of meh on.
Yeah. But I know people will probably start reading A New Dawn soon. They're giving away advanced copies at San Diego Comic-Con, and hopefully they'll be sending out ARCs soon.
Because we would love to read that before we have to take off for Dragon Con.
Yeah, considering it comes out not long after that, it would be nice to have it done beforehand.
Yeah, because we're not going to have time to read it at Dragon Con
you
this year.
Barely have time to sleep at Dragon Con.
That's the fun of Dragon Con.
Yes.
Oh, and speaking of that, next week we have Brandy from the Dragon Con track, the Star Wars track at Dragon Con.
Yes.
We'll be on the show to talk about the track, the con, and try and convince those of you holding out or not on the fence that you should go.
Definitely. It'll be fun to talk to her. We haven't had a guest on the podcast in a while with all of our technical difficulties, but we love having people on the show and talking about Star Wars and all that stuff, so that'll be fun.
Hooray. Yes.
Speaking of San Diego Comic-Con, we just realized this morning that we're gonna be gone.
Yeah, we're gonna be on a boat.
Sorry, Bria.
Which means announcements are now guaranteed.
I don't really know what they're going to announce, though, because they don't have a book panel. They don't have a Del Rey panel. They have just a regular, they just have a panel about A New Dawn. But I'm getting ahead of myself. We talk about that later.
Yes, we will talk about that later.
Although we can mention that Del Rey is doing a great tribute to Aaron Alston. If you're going to be at San Diego Comic-Con on the Saturday, wear a garishly print or tie-dye print Hawaiian shirt in honor of Aaron Alston. And the Star Wars track at Dragon Con is also having a memorial for Aaron.
That'll be on the Saturday of Dragon Con, and there's actually a dedicated panel or event in the track room.
Yeah, for Aaron and also A.C. Crispin, who also passed away this past year. So wear your tie-dye, wear your Hawaiian shirts. It'll be a good time remembering some cool people.
Yep. So stay tuned for that. We'll have some more details on that and other events at Dragon Con next week when we have Brandy on.
Yay!
And with that, it's time to move into Fixer's Flash.
Woo. You can waste time with your friends when your chores are done. Now, come on, get to it.
Okay, the geeky things we've been up to in the last week or so. Where do we start with this? Because we've actually been up to stuff.
We have. We're watching a show. It's not necessarily a nerdy show. And people will probably yell at me with all the shows I haven't watched that I'm watching this one, which I've seen already. But Brian hasn't. And
I've seen bits and pieces. I just haven't seen the entirety of the show.
My good friend Amanda has decided that in order for me to continue staying married to Brian, that he needs to watch the show Friends. So she has graciously loaned us all of her DVDs, and we're going through the seasons. We are now in the middle of season 2, and I'm very excited to have some material to watch on the plane, because it's going to be a long time.
It's going to be a long flight. Oh, by the way, no podcast the week after next, and probably the week after that.
Yep.
We'll see. Because we'll be busy with other things, as in not being in the state of Florida.
So, Brian, tell the audience, what is your opinion of Friends so far? And you can be honest.
You're Monica and I'm Chandler.
Well, there it is. That's the show.
That's the show. That's the show. No, I like it. It's good fun.
Fun.
But I'll have more thoughts once I'm more than a season and a half in.
Once you get to season 3, I think it was. Yeah. Or season 4. Yeah. That's when you get to the pop culture hated, we were on a break moment.
Even I know of that.
Yeah. And then you really hate Ross. But yeah, it's fun to watch the show. And it's funny because there's a lot of stuff on the DVDs that is not in the reruns. So I'm like, I don't remember this part from the show. And I've seen them a bunch of times. So, but yeah, after Friends, who knows what we'll watch. It'll probably take us a while.
I think this means it's time to introduce you to a show that you haven't seen yet.
Yes, I'll pick a show and then you'll pick a show.
Should we do Cheers? Arrested Development?
Are we going to switch genres?
Ooh, we could switch genres. What would be next?
I don't know.
We could watch House up until it got bad in season 5.
Okay, we have to have some sort of veto, because I have no interest in watching House at all.
Oh.
Yeah. Try again.
The Next Generation?
Maybe. Well, Matthew Bowers wants us to watch Star Trek, so I will be watching Star Trek.
So we've got a new podcast project in the hopper that's coming up.
We might not have time to watch another show after this. This is true.
We got another podcast project coming up. We're probably going to start work on it in August. Matthew Bowers, who runs Majestic Giraffe, our host site, and the Wrong Opinions About Movies podcast, has conjured up this idea in which we're going to review Clone Wars and Star Trek episodes.
Because why not?
Trek versus Wars, it'd be fun. Yeah. Might even sneak in some Rebels discussion in there when that releases in September. But yes, you have that to look forward to.
Yay.
There'll be a new podcast in your feeds.
Yes. So yeah, I don't know if we'll have time to, maybe we need to watch some like short shows.
There are some great anime series.
No, I get to veto anime.
Why?
No.
There's some really good stuff. I will go get the wrong opinions, people.
It's fine.
To gang up on you on this.
Brian, they've ganged up on me forever. It's not going to do anything.
Okay, just indulge me. Ghost in the Shell.
No.
Come on.
No.
Come on.
No.
Okay. okay.
I'll watch Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Ooh.
I don't know if it's streaming anywhere, though.
I believe
it's only three seasons.
I believe it's streaming on Netflix.
No, it was. And then it went
anymore?
Off. That's why I stopped watching it.
Okay. Well, I'll find it somewhere.
Okay. It's only three seasons, right?
Yes.
Okay. We can do that easily.
Yeah.
And then we can start a really another big project. Stargate. We need to restart our
Stargate watch.
Or we can do X-Files.
Yeah, some shouts of yes, watch Avatar in the chat.
I want to watch Avatar.
You just want the Fire Lord Orzai.
I wasn't even thinking about that, but now that you mentioned it, yes.
We have the Mark Hamill connection sold.
Okay.
We were up to other things, though, other than just chatting aimlessly about television.
Yes, we were.
You and I went back to the Kennedy Space Center.
Yes.
Can I just say that one of my favorite things is standing out in front of the entry to the Saturn V complex and watching people's jaws drop as they see the massive scale of that booster.
Yeah, I used to work there, and we did overnight adventures, and we would head out there early, ahead of the buses, and one of the instructors would go out and meet everyone and get them all inside the building and bringing in the luggage. And then we would wait for them to get out of the introductory movies. And we would set everything up. And then once we figured out when they were going to come in, we'd go down to the end of the building. And I would just stand there. And I always wanted to be the person who had the microphone who was welcoming them in. Just because, especially when it was like the middle school kids, because, you know, they're like, oh, I'm
too cool for Kennedy
Space Center. I'm too cool for this.
Center.
This is stupid. Blah, blah, blah. And then they'd come out and see the rocket and just be like, whoa. And I'm like, yep. You can't act cool after seeing us.
No, you cannot.
Although now watching the people come out and seeing Atlantis is really, really cool.
That made us cry.
It was actually more exciting the second time because I knew what to expect. And I was my heart was beating in anticipation. And then we got up to the front of the room and I was watching my mom to see her reaction. And when that happened, which I won't say because I don't want to ruin it for people who haven't seen it, she goes, oh, there it is. And I was like, yes, Mom, it is. So that was fun. And it's a fun day. It's definitely worth the price of admission. So, yep, we'll probably go back next month again.
And we've got movie time coming up for us tomorrow. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is...
Yes. Is
on our list to see tomorrow.
Yes, I'm very excited. Brian from EU Cantina went to see it today and said it was very good. So I'm looking forward
Isn't
to it.
Isn't currently sitting at like 95%
Something ridiculous.
On Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah. And also, if you are interested in seeing Snowpiercer, starting today, it is available on video on demand. On various services, including Amazon, you can rent it for $6.99, or you can buy it for $19.99. So, if you would like to see Snowpiercer, and it is not available near you, and you don't want to drive a long time, you can just watch it on your TV.
Which I think we might have to do.
Well, I don't know if it's still it's playing near us, but I don't know if it's still playing, and we probably will not get a chance to see it until next month, and by next month it will probably be gone, so we'll probably end up seeing it on Amazon Prime.
Works for me.
Yep. Anything else we've done?
Well, you've done some stuff.
I started reading The Serpent's Head by Brian Young, a friend of the podcast. His latest book that came out during Origins. I've only gotten the first chapter in so far, but it's a sci-fi western type, so it immediately got on my buy list, and I will probably read it while we're on vacation, along with several other books. And I have given you a list of books to read while we're on vacation.
Yes, you have. I have a list of things to read.
What's on it? Old Man's War, Overdraft by John Jackson Miller, The Jupiter Pirates by Jason Fry, which I'm really excited for the sequel, by the way. And what's the other one? Oh, Fangirl. See, that's a very good assortment of books, right?
It is. That's a nice solid.
You should be able to
there.
At least finish one of them.
Yeah. I
maybe
can finish
two.
One of those.
Maybe two.
Although now I'm checking, is the A New Dawn arc available? Because that might take precedence.
No. I've been trying to get you to read those books forever.
I know.
Story of Our Lives.
I know. And the good news is it's not available yet. Okay, well, yeah, that's pretty much been it for us, which means it is time for Deke's Dirt. Flemming in the Flim Flam, Deke's Dirt.
We've got some more Episode 7 news. This kind of came out from nowhere. Crystal Clark and Pip Anderson, who I love saying it, because Pip, why don't we name...
You are blowing out the pop filter with that Pip.
Pip. It's not my fault his name is...
Plosives.
Pip.
Plosives.
Bib. I'll say Bib instead.
Plosives.
But yes, Pip Anderson, who has the best name, and I think more people should be named Pip. they were cast from the Open Calls, and so they have nabbed the coveted roles of Rachel and Thomas, which I am sure are not their actual names, everyone, but still. So as contrary to what rumors said, John Boyega and Daisy Ridley are not Rachel and Thomas. It is Crystal Clark and Pip Anderson.
You're having fun with that.
I am. I have to turn my head every time I say Pip. So that was interesting news. Although I'm with the people who say that the cast in this movie seems really huge, and I'm wondering what are the size of all of these roles? Like, because, you know, I remember when they cast Bonnie Peace as Aunt Beru, and you're like, oh, cool. And then she went, hello. And that was the extent of her involvement in the film.
Which was disappointing.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, you know, who's going to have 10 words.
But, you know, yay, another woman of color is in the cast.
Yes. Yay.
A+. Good on you.
Mm-hmm. They also put in a little update at the end of the announcement about principal photography continuing at Pinewood Studios and Abu Dhabi, the wrapping up that happened in May. And they also said in August, the team will take a brief 2-week hiatus while adjustments to the current production schedule are made as actor Harrison Ford recovers from a leg injury. Harrison is doing well and is looking forward to returning to the set soon. Shooting remains on track to wrap in the fall with the film scheduled for release in December 18th, 2015.
This is the most publicized leg injury ever.
Yes. I want to know if they... this is definitely not true at all, but it almost seems like they staged it so that people wouldn't ask about who the other people are playing. But I'm not falling for it, Lucasfilm. I still want to know who people are playing and, you know, what their roles are and that sort of thing.
You know, I'm trying
and
not...
And the plot...
I'm trying not to be bitter, but we know more about Pacific Rim 2, which hasn't even started production yet.
I just want a general idea. New Republic fights the remnants of the Empire. But rebellion fights someone else.
But Nancy, mystery box.
You can't mystery box
What's
an entire...
What's in the box?
You can't mystery box an entire damn movie.
What's in the box?
But yeah, I would like to know who people are playing. Like,
I don't need a ton of details. I just need some general plot synopsis.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so that was the episode 7 news. And wanted to note, we didn't want to do a whole big discussion about it because we've discussed it a lot. But there's people who've said, oh, well, look, now we have two more women casts with Lupita Nyong'o and Gwendolyn Christie, one of whom was a woman of color. And now we have another casting announcement with another woman who is also a woman of color. So, man, you people got mad for no reason. And no, that's not true. Because people were angry because we were presented with news of the cast announcement that we had no reason to believe that this was not the main cast in its entirety. And there was only two women, one of whom was a new cast member. And the diversity, the racial diversity was a little better, not that great still. But there's no reason why people shouldn't remark when they're disappointed in certain things. And if it turns out that later on they announce that they cast three more women, well, great. Then we'll say thank you.
So, first off, the whole backlash could have been avoided had Lucasfilm that day said, we're casting three more women. We haven't finished contracts yet.
Or even if they just said, more roles are to be cast. Because, I mean, obviously, the people in the picture were not the only people who are going to be in the movie. It's Star Wars. There's a lot of people in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they're announcing the new cast members, it seems like they're going to be of some importance. I mean, even if they only have Wedge isn't in the movie very much, but he became very important. So it's not to say like one of these roles won't necessarily be in the movie a long time, but have a big role. So they could have just said more to come. I mean, they didn't even have to specify that.
But this was presented women. At the time this was presented. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
There's your cast.
Yeah. And so for people to say, well, this is disappointing, or say, I hope they cast more women and, you know,
that is minorities. Totally fair game.
It is fair game. It's fair for any movie. And, you know, saying, oh, well, you should have just been patient. How can I be patient when I don't know what I'm waiting for?
Well, and you can't just look at this in a vacuum either. There's plenty of other context on where Lucasfilm has, let's be honest, dropped the ball.
Yeah, I mean,
in regards to diversity in their products.
And they could have a cast that's all woman and still be awful with how the movie actually presents them. You know, I do think there's,
I mean, for now, all we know, they could all be cast in wearing brass bikinis. Yeah. We don't know yet.
We don't know. I mean, there is something to say for people who say having that it's quality over quantity. But I don't see why you can't have both.
I mean, and maybe it's not very nice to say, but Star Wars hasn't exactly earned the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. So, I mean, saying, well, Star Wars has, you know, Princess Leia, and she's, you know, you should be happy with that. Basically saying that one great woman is enough. Yes, Princess Leia was great, and we love her, but why can't we have more than one woman?
I mean, whenever we talk about these things, we're not commenting on what's already there. Like,
yeah.
Leia's great. We acknowledge that.
Yeah.
Leia's awesome. We want more.
And we do acknowledge the times that movies
are
created.
It was really progressive, but it's no longer 1977.
And I mean, that's the same thing with the prequels. Like, one of the reasons I get really mad is how, like, the end of it turned out is because
it was regressive.
Yeah. And especially when in so many other areas the prequels did so well. Like, if you just look at the movie, I mean, it's completely diverse if you just look at the movie, but, you know, the fact that...
I mean, the leading roles may not have been, but no. if you stand
the
back...
The universe itself
look
is
at,
diverse.
Look at the universe on the screen, you see there's actually diversity portrayed on screen.
Even if you just look at the Jedi Council itself. But...
Although I will take this opportunity to remind people that casting women and people of color and then making them aliens doesn't cut it.
Yeah, I don't like that trend.
So if Lupita Nyong'o is an alien, we are having words. Because you do not cast Lupita Nyong'o and make her an alien.
I could see her being... It would depend on, like, what they do. Like...
Sure, I mean, it could work, it could be great, but if they don't, it's such a missed opportunity. It would be such a huge missed opportunity.
It is a missed opportunity. I wouldn't say if she's an alien, period. Like, if she's an alien and they paint her green, that's stupid. Yeah, if she's an alien and they paint and they just leave her skin color as it is, I can kind of be okay
with that.
It's
a little
that.
Better, but just let her be a human female, please.
Yeah.
That would be just excellent.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't even know that the later announcements were originally in the script as women.
I mean, I think the only one that would have been the Rachel role. But the other two, we don't know.
I mean, this is total speculation on my part, grains of salt and whatnot, but I would not be surprised if 20 years down the line, when we get making of episode 7, we find out that Gwendolyn Christie's character was supposed to be a man.
Or Lupita Nyong'o's. Yeah, I mean, we don't, and I...
Which then would mean that speaking out accomplished something.
It does, and I mean, it might necessarily have prompted them to cast those characters, cast those actresses, but it never hurts to speak up, because there's two
Star
more
Wars,
movies.
Yes, there's two more movies. And
you standalones.
And for no other reasons, you speak up now, so there's a chance you can improve those later movies.
Yeah.
Because it won't change unless it's made abundantly clear that this isn't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just us, the...
People.
Feminist side of the Star Wars fandom speaking out. It was mainstream outlets, Variety, Entertainment Weekly. Mm-hmm. They were calling it out.
Yeah. It definitely, the whole thing was handled very well.
That's kind of been Lucasfilm's bugaboo this year. I mean, look at the Rebels character reveals. Mm-hmm. It's like they...
Yeah.
it's like we've...
It's not that difficult, people.
Already, this
year. You know who they need to consult with? They need to consult with the people who are marketing the Hunger Games movies, because damn, they know what they're doing.
No kidding.
So, yeah, that's our episode 7 news. Yes, we're going to keep speaking out whenever things aren't diverse, because that's what we do.
And if you don't like it, tough. That's too bad.
Yes. More episode 7 news. Bad Robot... reported via Twitter, which I think is funny sounding.
Bad robot just threw something out via Twitter. I think that feels better.
No, I meant like, because, you know, the robot's tweeting. The bad robot.
Yeah.
Not the company.
Yes. A bad robot tweets.
That episode 7 will be filmed in IMAX because they... took a picture of an IMAX camera.
Now, we should be clear that probably is it's going to be partly filmed in IMAX and partly in 35mm.
Yes.
Abrams has already said as much, that he's recording episode 7 in 35mm.
Yes. But in news that I don't like, it will be post-converted to 3D.
Okay, here's the thing. The episode 1 re-release in 3D was a good post-conversion process, but it still falls... You can only do so much to make up for the fact that you didn't film it natively in 3D.
And also, they had a really long time to work on it. Like, they worked on it almost as if it was its own film.
Yeah, so they had a ton of time to just sit down at ILM and go frame by frame and meticulously warp and distend and try and make it look less cardboard cutout-y.
Yeah.
They're not going to have that lead time.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's inevitable because all big movies are 3D. I'll probably go see it once in 3D. But the thing that pisses me off is that the really big theaters are all going to be the 3D ones, and then the smaller ones are going to be the regular ones.
The fake IMAX is going to be in, all we can see in 2D.
And I have a tradition of seeing Star Wars movies at the Downtown Disney Theater in Theater 1. And I can't do that. I can't do it anyway because now it's like the ETX theater that's extra money anyway, so I never go. And I'm like, I can't. It's going to ruin my tradition. Damn them.
Although, good point. Nut has a good point in the chat. With IMAX, we're guaranteed some Steadicam landscapes.
Yay!
Steadicam!
Oh, God, please do not give us shaky cam in Star Wars.
Okay, Star Wars crew, if you were running around with some Canon 5Ds to record this, no. Bad.
The only good thing I can think of is that would be really out of the... It's not a Star Wars thing to have shaky cam. It would seem really out of place.
I mean,
and I know J.J. Abrams is a new director and he can do whatever the hell he wants, but it would just seem really weird to have like shaky cam, close-up action sequences in Star Wars.
Go back to the last one of the films he did before Star Trek, Super 8.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall a whole lot of shaky cam in there. I think it was all pretty Spielberg-esque steady cam.
Yeah, and so I'm hoping that
he does at least
stick to the George Lucas style. I hope there's a lot of wipes.
I know we talk a lot about important things that you have to honor in making a new continuation of Star Wars. We talk a lot about theming and music. There's also cinematography things. It's mm-hmm. got to be Steadicam.
Yeah.
It's got to have the wipes, and you have to actually be able to see what's happening on the screen.
Yes. So, yes. Moving on to Rebels news. We knew this character already existed, Agent Kallus, who's kind of the second tier villain behind the Inquisitor. And he will be voiced by David Oyelowo.
Oyelowo.
I'm so bad at that.
Yeah.
who was in Red Tails, and I liked him in Red Tails. So
yeah, he was quite good in that.
Yep. So he will be voicing the Inquisitor, which had been rumored beforehand. Or I'm sorry, voicing Agent Kallus, which was rumored beforehand, and we still don't know who's voicing the Inquisitor. I'm wondering if they'll let us know at San Diego Comic-Con.
I still don't think it's going to be Max von Sydow.
I don't know.
How long are you expecting this show to run?
Well, no, I could see... Well, the only person from Episode 7 that I think might be possible would be Andy Serkis.
You know?
Because mocap stuff.
Yeah.
Although... It would be weird because the species of the Inquisitor, they were in Episode 3 and they were real actors. They weren't CGI. So
I'm still going with my pet theory that it's Mark Hamill.
I would love that, but I'm not getting my hopes up. So
I'm just at a loss to why you've still got that one kept a secret.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the only thing I can think of is that it has to do with someone in Episode 7, and I don't know if I'm going to like that because I don't know if I want there to be a connection.
Well, that's why I'm going with Mark Hamill, just because his voice talent, not necessarily a character continuity.
Well, I'm hoping that they will let us know at San Diego Comic Con.
That would be very nice. They do have a great panel that's lined up to be there.
Yep. Also, this past week, StarWars.com posted a video chronicling the genesis of the real life Chopper the Droid. Which was really quite interesting.
I didn't know there was only one Chopper.
There's only one Chopper. Only one Chopper made. And he's the one you've seen at all the cons at Star Wars Weekend. So if you've seen Chopper, you've seen Chopper.
You've seen the Chopper.
And I kind of love Chopper. I've kind of fallen in love with him. He's one of the things I love most about Star Wars. Droid humor.
And there is a lot of droid humor to be had with Chopper.
Yes. I also kind of hope that R2-D2 maybe makes an appearance in Rebels just so we can see them hanging out.
I would love
I don't
that.
Care if it makes sense. I just want it to happen. Or do like a special, an animated special, Chopper and R2's Great Adventure.
Let's see. R2 and Chopper go to White Castle.
Oh, God.
Rebels will be featured at San Diego Comic-Con, including Dave Filoni and the entire voice cast. So Ooh. That's something to be excited about. Don't know how much they'll reveal about it, but it's a really neat voice cast they got assembled. So no doubt that panel will be fun.
Yep, and they've also got several other panels, including collecting panels, a Hasbro panel, a panel about A New Dawn, which also features Vanessa Marshall, who is Hera, obviously.
I do hope that the Del Rey folks have sent Vanessa Marshall a copy.
Yes.
And if you haven't, please do. She would love it.
And several other panels. No Episode 7 stuff. J.J. Abrams will not be there. He's a little busy right now. But I would definitely think that next year they will have some things about Episode 7.
Yes, hopefully. Hopefully. We can only hope. And yeah, John Jackson Miller is going to be the Star Wars literature rock star at San Diego Comic-Con this year. So if you're going, go check his panel out.
Yes.
John Jackson Miller is cool people, and you'd know that if you'd listened to our interview with him.
Yep.
You can find that on the blog.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of A New Dawn, Star Wars Books has posted the dust jacket, and Mike Cooper does the Lord's work by transcribing the blurb on a slightly blurry image.
Yeah, I saw some people do it later. I know Jonah Marie on Twitter, who's Blue Jay Guys on Twitter. She also
runs the Wookiee Gunner.
Yeah, I also saw her did it, but Mike's was the first one I saw. And it reads as follows. Ever since the Jedi were marked for death.
I really need some mood music when we do this.
You messed me up.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Ever since the Jedi were marked for death and forced to flee Coruscant, Kanan Jarrus has devoted himself to staying alive rather than serving the Force. Wandering the galaxy alone from one anonymous job to another, he avoids trouble, especially with the Empire, at all costs. So when he discovers a deadly conflict brewing between ruthless Imperial forces and desperate revolutionaries, he's not about to get caught in the crossfire. Then the brutal death of a friend at the Empire's hand forces the ex-Jedi to make a choice. Bow down to fear or stand up and fight. But Jarrus won't die Jarrus won't be fighting alone. Unlikely allies, including a bomb-throwing radical, a former Imperial surveillance agent, a vengeful security officer, and the mysterious Hera Syndulla, an agent provocateur with motives of her own, team up with Jarrus to challenge the Empire. As a crisis of apocalyptic proportions unfolds on the planet Gorse, they must stand together against one of the Emperor's most fearsome enforcers, for the sake of a world and its people.
So, you know, I was excited for A New Dawn when it was originally announced and that John Jackson Miller would be doing it. I have to say I'm even more excited after Star Wars Weekends and seeing all the clips.
Yeah, it seems... the show seems good. The book seems good.
I'm excited. I can't wait to get my hands on the book.
Yes. And if you want to get your hands on more literature, Amazon will be releasing a 2014 Star Wars literature sampler on July 15th. And it will feature samples from 4 upcoming releases, including A New Dawn, Tarkin, Heir to the Jedi, and Lords of the Sith.
So, yay, that's coming up soon.
Yep.
And even if you don't have a Kindle, you can get it for your PC cloud reader.
And it's free.
It is free.
So
who's excited? I'm excited. Yay.
Yay, free books.
Free books. And moving on.
Found anything yet? Nothing yet, sir. How about you?
Not a thing, sir.
What about you guys? We ain't found shit.
Time for Big's Bullshite. And we start with more debate over the release date.
Club Jade posted an article earlier today. There was a rumor that, again, that Kathleen Kennedy and J.J. Abrams are arguing about the release date with Bob Iger, who's a CEO of Disney. He wants to keep it in 2015. They want to move it back to May 2016. Who knows? The reason I stuck that in here is because I thought the commentary from Dunk was very insightful, basically explaining why it might be in the best interest to push back the release date, basically saying that they have to make a good impression with this movie. You know, the movie's going to make money no matter what.
It's going to make $1 billion, but
the fact that this is the general public's perception, mind you, not fandoms, which
our,
is quite
our
different.
Perception is skewed. Our perception, we're already sold.
Yeah. But if you talk to the general public, a lot of them weren't happy with the prequels.
And this is not a cue to have a debate with us over the quality of the prequels. We're not speaking for us.
Yes. But I mean, that's the rhetoric that you hear. Which is why a lot of prequel fans get annoyed, because it's not necessarily in fandom that they're told they're wrong, but just in general podcasts you listen to or just at mainstream media. The story is that the prequels were disappointing. That's it. So, as Dunk said, it's in their... They need to really wow people, and basically, if they want to go forward after this trilogy is done, they need to really
they need
to wow. Basically,
they need to do at least as well as they did with the first cycle of Marvel films.
Yeah,
that is the benchmark. They have to at least match that.
Yeah, she says the idea that the prequels were that Star Wars was broken by the prequels, and I say broken with air quotes. You know, that idea colors how many people see Star Wars. And she says, Kennedy needs to usher Star Wars into something that can last for Disney. She knows they can't afford to stick the landing by releasing a rushed subpar Episode 7 with the future of the franchise hanging in the balance. Episode 7 will make Disney millions, maybe billions, no matter when it's released or how good or bad it is. No matter what movie it opens against. But if Star Wars is going to last beyond a third trilogy, it's going to need some careful cultivation. There are a whole lot of people to convince, and most of them aren't those of us who follow every drip and drabble of news, or who know that just using the terms bad and prequels in the same sentence will lead to a tedious debate in certain company. Lucasfilm and Disney both need the mainstream, and they need to convince them that Star Wars is and can be good again. So, with all that said, I do see why J.J. Abrams and J.J. Abrams and Kathleen Kennedy would want to push a release date back, especially if they're having filming problems. And I wouldn't argue against it. I mean,
no.
I would like to see it sooner, but I want to see a good movie.
Well, and I also understand why Bob Iger would want to keep it at December, because Disney is huge.
Mm-hmm.
They've got probably a 5-year plan for all of their properties to hit these windows to just keep the Disney train rolling.
Right.
And winter 2015 was Disney doesn't have really anything else there.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be Disney's big launching point for that winter. I can see why he'd want to keep it there, but ultimately I do think he's going to acquiesce and move it to May.
I don't expect them to move it. However, I wouldn't be surprised if it did, and I wouldn't be necessarily disappointed. Because selfishly,
I'd love it in May, not out of tradition, but because it's so much easier to work out seeing this with your friends and family when it's not the holidays.
Yeah, it's going to be really
I mean, there's no way we can get our friends from Atlanta down here or go meet our friends in Atlanta or bring other people from other parts of the country to meet with them or to have them meet you. You can't do that in December.
Yeah.
The airfare is prohibitive. Everyone has other things they're worried about. December's not great for that. May is easier for that. That's why I want it to be May. That's just my selfish take.
Yep.
And yeah. That's all we have to say on that one. Pip Anderson.
You have to look away when you do that.
Pip Anderson. I move away from the microphone when I breathe. There's a meme throwback for you. Pip Anderson, is he the sequel trilogy's Ray Park?
That's a rumor. He has a website, Pip Tricks. Which kind of sounds really fun. Apparently, he is very big in the parkour scene. He was in a commercial where he was doing parkour all over the place. So the, first reaction to him being cast is, well, of course, he's some sort of Jedi or bad guy, and he's going to be the cool guy with all the crazy
Sith
stunts.
Ninja.
He will be at Star Wars Weekends in 10, 20 years doing Pippin time, or I can't think of a punny name right now for
Pip's
his show.
Pip's Park?
No, it can't be anything like, it could be Pippin Park.
Pippin Park.
So I think that kind of makes sense. And in the discussion that ensued in that news post, Dunk says, given the amount of youngish folks we're seeing, I'm beginning to wonder if this means we are going to see a Jedi Academy or some sort of school/college-like environment with plenty of spinoff potential.
Star Wars, the college years.
I would like a Rogue Squadron Academy.
I would
Top
watch
Gun.
That.
Yeah. I mean, I would freaking love a Jedi Academy. Of course, it won't be a Jedi Academy. It will be the Jedi Temple, and it will be on Coruscant in the exact same building that it used to be, because that's the way these things work. At least we won't have 30 years of EU in which they were on all different places. And then, oh, hey, there's this pet temple we never knew about. Let's go use it. And act
retconned
like we did all the time.
In 30 pages of a book.
Yeah. So, I think that would be cool. And I think it would be even cooler if Luke was the head of
Although,
it.
Although, yeah, if there's this established academy, that kind of shoots the grim, dark, post-apocalyptic rumors
That's
into the ground. And I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with
you
that, too.
You keep your grim dark out of my Star Wars.
Nick says, that's what I've been wondering, too. I'm also speculating Imperial Academy students or some sort of structured program for young rebel recruits.
Skywalker's School for Gifted Youngsters?
Yes, please. and then Mazik says, Pip is big in the parkour scene. My guess is definitely Jedi trainees.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's something else like Sith Imperial ninja things, but... Yeah,
I'd be fine with that.
Parkour's cool. I'm okay with this.
Yeah. I mean, I have no problem with a new Darth Maul type person, because Darth Maul was one of the best things about Phantom Menace. And whenever Ray Park is at Star Wars Weekends and they show the videos from filming everything, it still boggles my mind how good he is. And not just in the stunts, but like the actual, like he looks like a bad dude, which is impressive because in real life he does not look like a bad dude.
He's a big marshmallow.
Yes. Rumors about release dates and Pip.
And now
I am not a committee,
but it is time for Cammy's concerns. What do we got this week, Nancy?
This actually stemmed from a discussion that was going on the Force.net literature forums today. Someone had posted a kind of a review, not really a review, but they had seen the new Rebels visual guide and they posted a long recap of what was in it and that sort of thing. And one of the things was that the planet Kessel will be in Rebels. However, it will be very unlike the Kessel that we have seen in the expanded universe. For example, the whole like little tiny planetoid with no air. So of course people
were up in arms.
People had thoughts about that. I had thoughts about that too. What was said about the visual guide. First off, the big change. Kessel, it's now a full-size planet with a royal family versus its EU planetoid broken up planet status. There is also clearly an atmosphere, yellow/brown, maybe due to all the mining. If you saw the Rebels trailer, Kessel is where Kanan turned on his lightsaber. No word on the Maw or its moon, so they could or could not survive at this point. That said, I didn't see the Maw in the background, but it was a very zoomed-in pic, so no word on the Kessel run in the whole 12 parsecs explanation. Obviously, this is not the first time a planet or any sort of concept from the EU has been dramatically changed.
Ryloth, I think.
Ryloth was no longer tidally locked. Dathomir was very different than was described in the Courtship of Princess Leia. Kashyyyk was very different from what was described in Heir to the Empire. And Coruscant, you know, there's the Manarar Mountains and, you know, it was a big city, but they also had, like, some land.
Although I just choose to believe that they just developed over that land in the ensuing years.
We didn't see the whole planet. Kessel itself was originally a planet with atmosphere in some early EU material, but was changed when Kevin J. Anderson wrote the Jedi Academy trilogy.
And I do have thoughts about how that could be hand-waved.
Yes, but
the planet in this show is Kessel Prime. The Kessel we know of is like Kessel 4.
Yes. But it got me to thinking, and it got a lot of people discussing, you know, why do they have to overrun the EU? Why can't they just use a new planet? Blah, blah, blah. And people say, you know, if people said, well, they can't be beholden to the EU, which I completely understand. And that's not what people are arguing. But I thought it would make an interesting discussion in the wake of the canon declaration that discussing canon continuity, but also world building. And I think that's something that gets overlooked when you're focused on canon and continuity. But for me, that's the most important part that I don't want to lose. It's the world building.
Yeah, and I think we saw in the later parts of the EU where world building kind of got tripped up because of the massive continuity that got built up over the years.
Yeah, and that was the problem that we had. It's like, it's not that they referenced a lot of things. I like when they reference things, but it got so convoluted that every story you had to have read the story beforehand for it to make sense. Contrast that to something like Kenobi, which stands completely on its own. If you have read the stuff that it references, that's great for you, but it's not necessary. And to think that something like Kenobi is no longer part of the Star Wars universe does make me sad, because it's something I really like. But it's more the background stuff that I don't want them to mess with. Because, you know, some people have said, oh, everything post Return of the Jedi is now gone. No, everything is gone, unless it's referenced going forward. Everything. So basically, everything you knew about Star Wars is not necessarily true. And that's the part I don't like. Because for me, it doesn't matter if even Peele is killed in two sources. That's not the point. It's that a universe that I came to really like.
A whole lot of world building is gone.
Yeah. And to me, that's way more important than the stories itself. Like, because if you don't want to use the world building, then why write Star Wars? You know, the whole point of Star Wars is that it takes place in this world that we love, this galaxy that we love. Otherwise, you go read other science fiction, which I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But I mean, I want to read Star Wars because it takes place in that universe. And like, just thinking of random things that everyone takes for granted as being Star Wars truths, like Han Solo is from the planet Corellia. That's never said in the movies. Never said anywhere. I'm sure it's in the radio dramas and the novelizations, which are considered canon, except for where they contradict films. So there's no reason Episode 7 can't say, oh, Han Solo's from a different planet. And I don't see why they would do that, because it would make no sense.
Yeah,
but
I can definitely see where tripping up some of the details like that would just be annoying, because there are some details, I mean, not the really, really minute, trivial stuff, but there are some details that have escaped the gravitational pull of Star Wars mega fandom and have been sort of absorbed through pop cultural osmosis into the wider entertainment and culture and viewing populace. Luke Skywalker is married to Mara Jade is not a thing that just super fans know.
No, I mean, there's people who haven't read all of the EU, but have read some of the books, maybe just Thrawn Trilogy, and they know who Mara Jade is.
I mean, there are a lot of people who have not read a single Expanded Universe book and know who Mara Jade is.
And not just because they know me.
That's an important disclaimer.
Yeah. But someone brought up a really good example in this thread, and this is, by the way, the Star Wars Rebels thread in the literature forum, if you're interested in perusing it. But someone said, you know, well, of course they're going to use Kessel because it has a connection to the original trilogy. It's mentioned several times, so, you know, it's a good way to kind of
It's a good touch point.
Yeah, and you get, you know, people who aren't super fans will be like, oh, cool, Kessel, we get to see Kessel. And, I mean, overwriting something that was, you know, made up in the Jedi Academy trilogy is not something to get me put in a tizzy.
No, I mean,
It's the wider idea.
It's the detail. Yeah, it's the wider ideas and the details that have a lot more cultural.
Yeah.
That it's a lot more cultural reach.
Yeah. And I kind of think, okay, so
like, Han Solo has blood stripes.
Because he's from Corellia.
Because he's from Corellia.
Someone brought up a good point as that, you know, Bothans are mentioned in the original trilogy. They're never shown, but they're mentioned. And people know it because of that line. So bringing in Bothans would be a cool idea. However, what if they bring in Bothans and they look nothing like the Bothans we've seen in the EU or have any sort of the same culture as we've seen from the Bothans in the EU? And that's something that they would do. And say, well, it fit the story this way, but it would be really jarring to people who've read the EU and they know Bothans.
Yeah, and you know, I think this is a tough line for Lucasfilm to straddle, because there are details that you can just overwrite, and you know what, we're not losing anything of that much value. I don't care that Ryloth isn't tidally locked. Sorry.
No, it's not like you're gonna go and nitpick everything. However, I do think there is a point to when people say, but you could have used something else.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that even Peele was killed in two sources, okay, they could have used another character. They could have used someone besides Addie Gallia. I know why they used them, because they were in the movies.
Mm-hmm. And there's only a limited number you could use there.
But then you have situations like Barriss Offee, where I think it hurts the story more to use her than to use a completely new character.
I agree, and it hurts the story. I mean, it hurts the character and the story on both a narrative standpoint and a more social standpoint, but that's another discussion.
I wanted to read this post from Grand Admiral Jello, who is a contributor to 1138.
Which is a great site. If you're not reading it, you're wrong.
And his responding to someone saying that this... He was saying how, you know, Lucasfilm shouldn't just throw out all this established information willy-nilly. And this person replied saying, but the established information has been confirmed as why valid, so why not? And he replied, it's been confirmed as non-binding. If it's there as a resource to draw on, which, fine, creative freedom, blah, blah. Not trying to be an absolutist about this. But there's no reason to keep reinventing the wheel every time. Oh, by the way, the wheel is now a fast food joint on Chandrilla, which is an arid desert near Tatooine. Why? Why not? We can change the story to whatever, but it bothers me to start changing, but only part of the time, background stuff. We have an ISB, but Kessel is different. Well, shoot, do we even know a damn thing about the Star Wars galaxy anymore? Nope, not a thing. We have a Senar fleet systems, but do we have TIE interceptors? Maybe they're TIE bendy wings now. And
I want a TIE bendy wing.
Yeah, and I really liked that post because I've been trying to put into words my feelings about the whole canon continuity thing, and this kind of encapsulated it perfectly. It's not something I'm going to get bent out of shape about. You know, I'm not going to be like super angry because they changed Kessel, but I like Star Wars because it's Star Wars, because it's a universe I like. If they're just going to write whatever story they want to and put it in this universe and change the rules to fit them, that's not Star Wars.
Yeah, and you know, I think that if they're just going to do that, they should just be honest and say, you know what, this Star Wars as you knew it is another universe. You got to go into this with a completely open mind.
It's not even the fact of saying, like, I'd be completely fine if they said everything after Return of the Jedi is gone. Like, if they, not even saying, like, up until Thrawn Trilogy or up until whatever, if they just said everything past this point, gone. I think that would be better than saying everything published before this date is now gone.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's kind of, they're having a kind of have your cake and eat it too moment.
Yeah, like, I don't understand what is the problem with sources like Kenobi or Darth Plagueis or Allegiance, mm-hmm, or any book that takes place before Return of the Jedi being canon. Obviously, they might overwrite certain little tidbits.
But that's always been the case.
Yeah. But just swiping out the entire... I mean, these books right here, I'm padding all of our reference books. Those aren't canon anymore. And those are the reference books that make up the world that we love. So, I mean, that Atlas, I mean, I'm sure they would use the Essential. I hope they would use the Essential Atlas as a reference, but they don't have to. And I say, what's the point in doing that? What does that gain you?
Yeah, and
like,
it feels almost a little it's hard to look at this and not feel like it's a little vindictive.
Right. Like, it makes up the universe. That's what makes it Star Wars. And to say that it stifles creative freedom to be confined to certain things. And that's bullshit. Because you write and work and create things in an established universe because it's that universe. And to it's no more creative to say, I'm going to change this and I can do whatever I want than to be confined.
Yeah.
It's much harder to and be confined to the world.
I think
you
boil it down to this. Just because you can toss something aside doesn't mean that you have to. And right now it feels a little bit like they are operating under the assumption that they have to toss these details aside.
Yeah.
That Han Solo isn't really from Corellia.
Yeah.
That it's... And just stuff like that. I mean, it doesn't hurt the narrative in the film to have Han Solo be from Corellia.
Right. I found where I replied to this thread and worded it a lot better than I can speak. I said, changing things just because you can isn't any more creative than using the confines in an already established world. I think it's much more creative to use an already established world and create a great story within that world.
And if there's just one thing I wish I could explain to them, it's that changing some of these details are going to be jarring to more than just you, me, the well-established super fan. It's
right.
going to be jarring to people outside of our sphere.
Right. And
because
the thing
that they may not want to acknowledge it, but these details have been absorbed into the culture as a whole.
And I'll use the example from the prequels. Then George was going to name Coruscant something other than Coruscant until it was pointed out to him that, hey, the planet's got a name in these books that a lot of people have read. You might want to keep it the same name.
Oh, Coruscant. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Very good. And he did, which, looking back, always surprises me. I am always surprised what he kept
Coruscant.
If
there was one detail George could have just easily tossed,
and
it was
calling
the planet Coruscant.
And you know Timothy Zahn did a fist pump when that happened. But, I mean, to me, it doesn't matter what the planet looked like. It mattered that the planet was named Coruscant and it was the capital of the Republic.
Yeah.
That's the kind of detail I'm afraid they're going to throw away.
I think I figured out how I wanted to explain this. You can go ahead and toss the Yuuzhan Vong War. Mm-hmm. You can go ahead and toss everything that happened in Legacy of the Force and Fate of the Jedi. I don't care about that. I'd prefer it if you tossed it. But the background radiation, the background details, there's no reason to get rid of that. You can get rid of the limiting plot path.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason you have to get rid of Han Solo's from Corellia. That's going to be the episode title, Han Solo's from Corellia.
Yeah, it's right. It's the plot elements that are the limiting factor. The world itself is not limiting.
Yeah, the names, the worlds, that's not the limiting thing.
It's like, I've written AU fanfics I don't know how many times, and I use a different story because otherwise it would, you know, limit me creatively to use the same story. But I used all the details from the world because I was writing in that world. So why wouldn't I? I mean, they did the work for me. I just used it to fit
in. Now, let me use an illustration here to kind of wrap up and make my point. My brother has not read a single Star Wars novel. My brother came up to me and said, oh, isn't Luke married to, like, Mara Jade? If my brother knows this, you're in trouble if you don't have her.
And, I mean, I would be very sad if Mara's not in Star Wars anymore. It is... I can actually accept that, her not being in Star Wars anymore, than, like, the idea of there being no Jedi after Return of the Jedi, or like Han and Leia not being married. Like,
okay, that would be the most jarring thing possible, I think.
Yeah, that, to me, that is a thing where people would say, we can do whatever we want, so we're going to. Because everyone... I'm sorry, I'm looking at my dog. Everyone who saw Return of the Jedi expected that Han Solo and Princess Leia would get married. I mean,
okay, this isn't like the end of Deathly Hallows where everything was just way too convenient. I'm sorry, Han and Leia getting married makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. And it makes sense that Luke would train more Jedi because that's what Yoda told him to do.
There's the logical extension of the end of the film.
Yeah. So, like...
And that's it. A lot of stuff that happened in the expanded universe is the logical extension of the end of the film.
Right.
So, tossing these written logical extensions to do something else might wind up being a not so logical extension.
Yeah. Like, no, I don't necessarily care that Han and Leia have to have three children named Jaina, Jason, and Anakin.
But they probably should be married and have a kid.
Yeah. And I think Luke needs to go and find more Jedi and train them. I think it makes sense that along this time he would find someone to marry and be with them and have kids of his own. Because
you know, there was a whole genocide thing and the gene pool is a little limited.
I mean, that makes sense. He would want to have more Jedi babies.
But that's just us.
Yeah. And it would make sense for him not to have the attachment role because he saw that it did not work. Firsthand.
Yeah, if they have the no attachment rule in the sequel trilogy, that is going to... That's going to be a really hard thing for me to overcome. Because we saw what happened last time.
Yeah. But I think the whole point is that, like, I hope that they don't toss out what they have. I mean, this is nothing new. They've always contradicted the EU, and they always will. Yeah, I don't care that there's a story group.
Let's be clear. We don't have a problem with them overwriting plots wholesale.
Yeah. I mean, it's happened before. We all can deal with it. I completely believe it's going to happen going forward. I don't care that there's the story group monitoring everything. I know what's going to happen eventually, that something is going to get overwritten. That's not the point. The point is, please do not swipe aside all of this.
Don't get
knowledge.
Rid of useful stuff just because it was in the literature.
Yeah.
If you're having a conversation about the planet Han Solo's from, and if you answer with something other than Corellia, that's not cool.
Yeah, or even, like I've said before, I love Han's backstory, that he went to the academy and graduated valedictorian,
and while you don't need to copy that to a T,
I mean,
the general strokes is...
I mean,
cool.
I mean, we really don't know much about the time. All we know is that he went to the academy. I really hope they keep that because I think that's extremely important to his character. And if he is still General Han Solo or involved in the military, that's vital to his character. Because I'm sorry, him being Captain of the Millennium Falcon doesn't translate to being a good general. I mean, he's a great pilot, but he learned his tactics from somewhere and not just from being smart. So those are.
So if we're to boil this down, don't get rid of stuff just because you can. There's stuff worth keeping.
And Nut in the chat just said something that I think is very profound. You'd better have a kick-arse plot to back it up. And I think that's the point when it comes to all of this. Fans are much willing to overlook contradictions when it's a really good story. That's why we say we don't necessarily care about continuity so much, because we just want a good story. And a lot of times when you get bogged down, it keeps you from creating a good story. But continuity is not the same as world building.
No, it's not. They are two different subjects. We want the world building... We want the world building to stay intact and for important pieces of that world building to be brought over. You don't have to bring everything over. Nope. But there are some important things that have entered public consciousness that if you contradicted them, it's not just us who gets confused.
And it's not even things that entered public consciousness, but something that's just standard for Star Wars fans. Like, I don't think most people who didn't read the books would know that the Galactic Capital was Coruscant, but everyone who had read a book would have been like, what? No, that's not true.
That's impossible.
And it would have been, yeah, and it would have taken you right out of the movie. And it's not just Episode 7, it's Rebels, especially Rebels. Rebels is where it's all going to happen, because we have stuff in that time.
And you no longer have the excuse of George wanted to do this. So
no.
If you're doing this, if stuff like this happens now, it's your own choice. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't mind that Kessel's different. I can hand wave that easily.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some very fundamental world building details that if you trot over them, it's going to be jarring.
Don't change the universe.
Nope. And I think we're going to wrap that up there.
Yes.
And that'll do it for the show.
Woohoo!
We'll catch you next week. Remember, we've got Brandy from the Star Wars at Dragon Con track.
Yes.
Who will be here to talk the con, talk the Star Wars track, and we're going to attempt to convince you to come if you haven't already decided to go. It's in Atlanta. It's a lot of fun. Memorial Day weekend, be there. It's awesome.
If you have questions for Brandy or just about Dragon Con in general,
yes,
let us know.
Send them to us. We will be happy to field those for you. Maybe we'll get Bria on, who is a longtime Dragon Con attendee and can also field those questions. Okay, this episode of Tosche Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Check out the links on the blog to help keep the show running. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles @Tosche_Station. That's the official show account. You can find me with @LaneWinry, LaneWinree. You can find Nancy with @NancyPants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find us on the Facebook.
That's Tosche something Station my mother Network. Would say.
We're available on the iTunes Store and Stitcher. You can find our columns and news at Tosche-Station.net. Thanks for joining us. We will catch you next week.
Bye.
So long. This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TosheStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tosche Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.